Our next presenter is Jennifer Swanberg. From the horse worker's mouth, a detailed account of injuries experienced by Latino horse workers. Jennifer Swanberg, a professor of social work at the University of Maryland, is a social scientist whose research focuses on development of workplace and public policies that promote workers' health, work-life fit, and employee management. Her expertise includes low-wage work and occupational health disparities. She has a PhD in social policy and master's in management from Heller School of Brandeis University, and a BS in occupational therapy from the University of New Hampshire. Welcome, Jennifer Swanberg.
Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to our session. One of the great things about presenting at APHA when you're on a session, on a panel like this, is that you get a wide variety of content around a specific topic area. So we're going to shift from thinking about chemicals to now working with animals within agriculture. So just kind of make that shift a little bit. And then I think we're going to be shifting again. So that's the fun part of all this. Again, thank you. And thank you for that lovely introduction. So what I'm going to share with you today is the first set of findings that we have from the second phase of the Latino thoroughbred farm worker, the thoroughbred worker safety and health project. And this is a 5-year project that was developed in collaboration with the thoroughbred industry in the state of Kentucky to do several things. One is to identify who the workforce is within this industry. Secondly, to try to identify what are the types of injuries and illnesses that workers on these farms are experiencing. Third, to try to understand what's the nature of work on these farms, what really happens, what are the types of exposures that workers have, and what type of job conditions are increasing the likelihood that individuals will get injured. And then finally, to develop some tools and resources that can be used across the farms as a way to kind of reduce risk. So what you're going to be hearing are results from that are kind of newly, they're kind of fresh off the, fresh out of SAS, I guess it is, specific to the second phase of the project, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. So like we have to say, I have no kind of conflict of interest with this project, nor do any of my team members, and also that this project was funded by the National Institutes of Occupational Safety and Health through a grant to the Southeast Center on Agriculture Health Injury Prevention. So just to give you a context as we kind of shift industries here, I think many of us in the room know that agriculture is one of the most dangerous industries in the United States. Currently, I think the most recent data suggests that the injury fatality rate is 22.9 per 100,000 workers. Likewise, Hispanic workers within agriculture, or just Hispanic workers in general, are at higher risk for fatal injuries, and that's particularly true within agriculture. I think we all recognize that Latino workers, Hispanic workers, are heavily relied on within agriculture. But a lot of the research that's been done on agricultural safety and health has been primarily within workers who work on crop farms and some within livestock farms. So what we tried to do is look at a population that has not yet been studied. And this population, Latino workers in general, are highly vulnerable for all the reasons that we know. But also, agriculture is exempt from many of the labor protections that were, even though they're a little bit outdated, but were put in place in the early part of the 20th century. We also know that animal production workers experience the highest non-fatal injury rates across all ag industries. Here you see that animal production has 6.2 injury rate per 100,000 workers in comparison to agriculture, which is 5.5, and all industries is 3.7. But surprising to us anyway, when we began to look at the literature, this, as I mentioned, this study came to fruition through a collaboration with the thoroughbred industry in the state of Kentucky. And when we began to look at the literature, we were very surprised to find that there was not a lot of information on horse workers. What information was available was primarily available and done in European countries, and it was primarily focused on kind of recreational workers, recreation type of injuries, so people who are riding horses, equestrian workers. And then what had been done was done on horse tracks, race tracks, which is a little bit different than the actual farms. So we developed this study after doing some preliminary pilot work. And as I mentioned, there were kind of four primary goals, which was to identify the job workplace characteristics and hazards, describe the working population on these farms and their illnesses and injuries that they might experience, try to determine what type of job and workplace factors might increase the likelihood of someone being injured. And then ultimately, we want to develop tools and resources and interventions that can be used. It's a multi-method study where we use both qualitative and quantitative data. We're focusing on the second phase, the Latino Thoroughbred Worker Survey. And I should also note that this project was developed and informed by two advisory councils. The Thoroughbred Industry Council, who has been instrumental in helping to design and inform this study and give us access to many of the farms that we interviewed managers in the first phase, but also we've partnered with community health workers and worker rights groups that are both represented within our local city government, but also grassroots advocates. So the analyses that I'm going to present to you today kind of focus on four main questions. One, what we wanted to do is describe the demographic characteristics of the Latino workers employed on these farms. Secondly, was to identify the types and the prevalence of the injuries experienced by workers. Third, we want to describe the context of these injuries. So not only were they injured, but what was the circumstances around the injury? And then finally, we wanted to detail whether the injury was reported to a supervisor. Oftentimes, the literature suggests that Latino workers kind of underreport their injuries for a couple reasons. One, there's a kind of a minimization, or kind of they underestimate the severity of their injury, but also they fear that they'll lose their job. So for this phase of the project, to be eligible for this study, workers had to be self-identified as Latino. They had to be 18 years and older, currently employed on a thoroughbred horse farm for 9 months or more. And the reason why we set the criteria at this for this length of time at the workplace is that we were really interested in looking at the relationship between working conditions and injuries and illnesses. And workers could be seasonal, temporary, or regular permanent employee. We used a community-based purposeful sampling strategy, which incorporated snowball sampling. Any of you who may have done research or are interested in doing research with a Latino farm worker group will recognize that it's very difficult to have any type of random sampling because there's not a population frame from which you can pull these workers. And oftentimes, they live kind of in geographically spread out areas. And in particularly farm worker thoroughbred workers typically do not live in camps. That is quite common among crop workers. And then finally, we worked with our area health education center, who has a very strong Promotora program, and we hired four lay health educators to do the recruitment and administer the questionnaire. So we ended up collecting data from 225 workers, which was our targeted goal. The Promotores administered a questionnaire that lasted anywhere between an hour and an hour and a half. We collected information using 462 questions. Our attempt at this was to try to get as much information as possible so we could begin to really understand what's happening within the industry. Okay, our measures. So the primary kind of unit of analysis here is really to try to understand the injuries. So we looked kind of more broadly and asked workers whether or not they had been injured and received medical attention within the last 5 years. And then we narrowed it down to whether or not they had experienced an injury and received medical attention and first aid only within the last year. And then we had a set of questions that probed for the type of injury, the location, the action that led to the injury, and then whether or not they reported to the supervisor. And if they did not report, why was that? And then we looked at the range of demographics. Okay. So who is our workforce? Not surprising, it's primarily male. The mean age was mid-30s. 67% of the population was married. 64% were parents. You can see here that very low levels of education, and this is important when we talk about the intervention and what the farms are currently doing. You see here that it's a fairly stable group, 14.5 the workers had been in the U.S. for about 14 and a half years, which is consistent with what we're finding right now around what we typically think of as migrant workers. They're becoming to be a much more stable workforce for a variety of different reasons. The majority of the workers come from Mexico, followed by Guatemala, and not surprising, Spanish is their primary and dominant language. In terms of occupational characteristics, that the workers in this study had about 10 years of experience working on horse farms. They had currently worked at their farm for about 5 years. On average, they work full-time. These are full-time workers who work 6 days a week, on average 8 hours a day, and most of them work on small farms. So they work on average 48 hours a week. Okay, so now we're going to get into the injury characteristics. Don't you just love these, like, slides and EDHA? Like, how am I going to look at that? All right, well, I'm going to try. I'll walk you through it. So in terms of injuries that workers experience in the last 5 years where they received medical care, you see that 48% of the workers had received it, had been injured severely enough to seek out medical condition, to seek out medical help. And on average, over the last 5 years, they experienced two such type injuries. So pretty high. And now when we kind of narrow it down to medical injuries that they experienced in the last year, we see that 18%, so one in five workers had experienced an injury severe enough to seek medical attention. And on average, about one injury in the last year. And surprisingly, 92% of the workers had reported it to a supervisor. When we looked at injuries that required first aid, we see that 34% of workers had experienced an injury that just required first aid. They experienced almost two such injuries in the last year, and about 68% of these workers reported such an injury to their supervisor. When asked why they didn't report this type of an injury, they just felt like it was not necessary. And for some workers, because they might have been the only worker on the farm, or they might not see their supervisor regularly, so for them, it wasn't necessary. So when you combine these two rates, these two percentages, what we find is that 43% of the worker population had experienced some type of injury over the last year, and experienced almost two injuries in the last year, and a large majority of them had reported their injury to a supervisor. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is look at the injury incidences. So some of these workers that were injured in the last year experienced multiple injuries. So when you look at this 43% and you broaden it up, we see that we have 178 injury incidences that we're going to now look at. A large majority of these injuries were injuries that received first aid, and about 30% of them required medical care. About 60% of the workers sought medical care at the emergency room, then followed by urgent treatment centers, and only 15% went to a doctor. So what's the diagnosis? So this is from the worker's perspective, so not kind of diagnosis in the classic sense. But you see that workers primarily experience bruises, sprains, cuts, fractures, punctures, dermal wounds, and others. And other diagnoses includes dislocations, hernias, or just general pain. The site of the injury. So the most common place of injury were hands and feet, as you can see on the left-hand side, followed by legs, upper legs, knees, lower leg, and then you see the shoulders and arms, 18% across both shoulders and arms. What was interesting to see is that a fair amount, 14%, of the injuries were to the head and to the face, followed by 4% to the chest. And then in the back, primarily the site of injury was low back and then upper back and ankles. Okay, the mechanism of the injury. All right. So how did the injury occur? You can see that it's kind of a broad kind of perspective on how these injuries occurred. Kicked by the horse, being jerked, pulled, twist. If anyone has ever worked with a thoroughbred horse or been around them, you recognize that they're very large, highly temperamental, easily spooked animals. Bites, struck by a horse. Struck by a horse means that they're kind of hit by a horse in another way other than with their foot. So with their body, with their head, being stepped on, and then contact with equipment and foreign objects. So what tasks were these workers doing when they were injured? As you can see here, they were essentially doing their everyday job. They were taking the horses out, bringing them in. They were walking or leading them. They were grooming them, brushing them, feeding them, handling them, cleaning their hoofs, and so on. What we also found is that the injuries were more likely to occur among workers who worked with mares and fillies. So not only was it most of the injuries happened at the hand of a horse, but the type of horse mattered. And they also happened in August, September, and October. August and September, these were breeding farms. This is the time at which they were separating the mom from the baby. And then October is when they were actually selling the babies. And then the injuries occurred in the stable, outside the stable, and in the field. So essentially, in terms of moving forward, 43% of the workers in our sample experienced some type of injury over the last year. And as we move forward with our research, one of the things that we think about is how do you create an intervention or how do you create tools and resources to try to minimize risk when you're working with a very highly temperamental, easily excited animal. And when you look at the list, the kind of descriptions of the injuries, it's just everyday activity that's occurring. And when we look at kind of what type of personal protective equipment that's available on the farms have the workers wearing equipment when they're in the breeding shed. All these in Kentucky, the farms do live breeding as opposed to artificial insemination. So when the workers are in the breeding shed, they wear their helmets and their chest vests. However, when you're working with the horses every day, that doesn't occur. And when we even broach the subject of having some type of protective equipment on the worker at all times when they're working with the animal, the industry is very reticent about that because it would be very cumbersome. So as we go forward, kind of one of our challenges is to think about, so we've identified that one of the major hazards on the farm is the animal. So we have to start to think about how do we protect the worker from the animal. And I'm really interested in looking at, are there certain types of work organization factors that increase the likelihood that this individual will get hurt? You know, we've got kind of the time of year, we've got the type of horse, and then ultimately begin to identify some tools and resources. Most of these farms did not have safety manuals, and if they did have them, they were not translated in Spanish. The low levels of English kind of clearly suggest that just a written manual translated into Spanish isn't necessarily going to help this population. So we're looking into things like, 2.5-minute videos, and he's walking over here telling me it's time, but a whole range of other strategies that we can be able to pilot test and use across the farms. So thank you.
Thank you. So now we'll go ahead and take two questions. Okay, let's start with you.
I mean,
that's kind of where we're headed when we think about the intervention. It's really about training the workers to think about, I'd be interested in talking with you afterward, thinking about animal behavior and how, what things to do and not to do. One of the things that came up in the data is oftentimes people would get injured when the horse was spooked, so they were startled. So that's one of the things that we've been thinking about in terms of those kind of videos, but even using technology, cell phone technology, to create different types of apps to help the workers.
Let's go.
I'm so excited. This is my research area as well.
Oh.
I'm a horsewoman, public health person, and occupational scientist as well. So,
so we need to talk.
We need to talk. A lot of them related to sociodemographics here. Many, in my own experience, most of the workers are underdocumented or undocumented, which really creates some barriers for the research. And some reticence on the part of any organization, including, I work primarily with the racing industry, but with the thoroughbred farms or whatever, to allow or to allow access to the group. And so the education and the provision and the analysis of the work becomes even more complicated. So I'm interested in how you politically managed even to get access to the group.
Well, it's politically managing. It's an ongoing process. It's a long story, but mainly what we did is we built relationships with key stakeholders in the industry and built those relationships. And we also talked with them about how the data could be used to help them in the long run.